When I went down to Biloxi to go to my father's grave in 1974, the only thing I wanted to know on that trip was if he ever in his life acknowledged that he had a son named Wayne. It was my ego at work. I just wanted to know, did this man ever acknowledge myself and my two brothers? And I found the death certificate. It was in Biloxi, Mississippi. And it was kept in an old Coca-Cola box with rain spots on the box. And we finally went through to his death was 1964 in New Orleans and when they shipped his body there and all of that. And I pulled out the file and I went through it, and I finally found the day that he had died. They had it done by date, not even by name or by person. And I was going through this old file box. It's a cardboard box that Coca-Cola bottles had been shipped in. And I found Melvin Lyle Dyer, and I found his birth date and his death date, and I looked on down the list to see if he had any descendants. Yeah, and there were my three brothers' names, Jim, David, and Wayne. And I was like at peace. I thought, you know, this guy came into the world and he basically knew that he was a jerk. And he not only did to what he did to my mother, but he did it to five additional women and abandoned everybody and spent years of his life in prison and was an alcoholic and abusive person. And everybody, I used to think it was just my mother. I used to say, Mother, I said, there's, you know, there's a good side to everybody. Yeah, and she'd say, yeah, you try being married to him. You go find someone that has something good to say about him. And I met each one, I researched his life and met each one of his ex-wives. And all of them basically had the same opinion that my mother had had. And I thought to myself, he must have known at some level that his presence in my life would drag it down and in my brother's lives. Somehow, by being there, perhaps he knew that. And maybe that's why. Maybe in my own heart I needed to see something positive or something good about this person. And that's how I've always thought of him, as a person who was noble, and that he stayed away and allowed his ex-wife and his three children at least the opportunity to stay in a different energy field than the one that would have dragged us down. But that's how I see it, and I know the day that I die, and when I do come into contact with him, that I will share that. And I've shared it with him on many occasions in my own quiet, contemplative, private moments. Because finally, after a lifetime of anger and a lifetime of bitterness, I was able to give up my personal history. And I encourage every single one of you to do the same. Don't bond to your wounds. Don't see yourself as all of those labels. Kierkegaard, the famous Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard, once said that once you label me, you negate me. And our past is filled with labels about what we can and can't do. I'm not very good at this. I'm not athletic. I'm not musical. I'm not able to do certain kinds of activities. I don't have a good memory. I'm not very good at mathematics. I've never been good at relating to other people. I'm shy. I'm nervous. I'm clumsy. These are all labels from the wake, from our past. And all of them are just things that you have used as an explanation or as an excuse for why you don't move into a different place in your life. And they all revolve around this thing called failure. I tried them. I wasn't good at them. Therefore, I failed. And when you give up your personal history, you give up the concept of failure. It is, again, another illusion. You have never failed at anything in your life. Everything you've ever done has produced a result. You are just out there producing results. The issue isn't whether you fail. The issue is, what do I do and what have I done with the results that I have produced? So that if you go to, I love that story that I heard not too long ago of a little boy who was walking, and you know how little boys do it? I used to do it all the time. And you take a softball and you throw it up into the air, and then you have a bat, which is often a stick, it was for us, and you swing at it like this, and the little boy throws the ball up into the air, and he swings, and he misses. So he picks the ball up again, and he walks a little further, and nobody's around, and he throws the ball up into the air, and he swings again, and the ball falls to the ground. He misses. Then he picks up the ball again, and he looks around, and nobody's there, and he throws it up into the air, and he swings his stick. It misses again and hits the floor, the ground, and he responds, "What a pitcher."